So we've been looking at, over the past 3 weeks, this being week four, the Holy Spirit. And it's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting for me. I get excited thinking about it. I get excited studying it. And this word, empowerment. Empowerment. Remember when I was a high school kid, I was in grade 10. And I played on a basketball team. And we were in the Fraser Valley semifinals, which means we'd already qualified for the provincials. We're playing basketball, and we're playing against White Rock Christian. We're Chilliwack Senior Secondary. And they were the feared school in the valley. And they had a kid, Kyle Wilson, and this kid was really good. And it was my job as a point guard to guard Kyle Wilson, their best player. And let me tell you, he made me look real bad because he was very good. And so for the whole, do you know Kyle Wilson? Yeah, he's so good. He was dropping threes like dimes on my head. And I'm like, what? I'm guarding you the best I can. And so we're getting close to the game, though, and somehow we came close. We're down by one, and there's like 6 or 7 seconds left in the clock, and the coach calls a timeout, brings us over, and so we're sitting there, and I'm dog tired. I've been checking this guy running around the whole time, and they would send double and triple screens for him. I'm just chasing him around the whole court. And the coach then draws up this play, and I'm thinking, coach, like, give it to Trev, give it to Mike. I'm gassed. I'm a point guard. I really just pass the ball, and if I'm open, I'll shoot a three here and there. And the coach says, I'm calling your name, Green. We're going to throw, we're going to play a run and play shooter. You're going to inbound the ball, and we're going to do some picks, and you're going to shoot the final shot for us. And in that moment, I was very scared, but I also found, I felt very empowered. I didn't think that my coach believed in me enough that with seconds left in the game, I was going to have the ball in my hand. I grabbed the ball. I got the double screen, went to the middle. I should have shot a three. I didn't. Went to the key right at the foul line, took a little jump shot. It went in. And I'm thinking, man, we just beat White Rock Christian. The problem was that took 3 seconds. They came down, scored, and we lost the game. But I felt very empowered in that moment that coach called my number. That word empowerment. That when you feel that, that source of encouragement. And what we're talking about today is the Spirit of God empowering. We're looking at the Old Testament. See, we're laying a foundation and we are getting somewhere in this series. And today, there is a pattern. There is a point that is very important that we're going to illustrate and show you in the Old Testament here. So let's begin. So the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, and the term Holy Spirit is only mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament. 3 times. However, in the Hebrew, there's a word for the Spirit of God, and that word is ruah. Ruah. And then what that means is breath, wind, or spirit. And see, there's a realignment that kind of needs to take place. In the Bible, when it talks about the Spirit of God, it's using that word ruah. We call it the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the Spirit of God. And that's mentioned many times, of how ruah, the Spirit of God, breathed life and created from the beginning. And God is the giver of life and sustainer of life. And in Genesis, it talks how Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils. And the man became a living being. That God breathed life. And we actually affirm that in the Apostles' Creed. Look at me quoting Apostles' Creed. Boot. But in the Apostles' Creed, it says that we believe in the Lord God, in the Spirit of God, and the giver of life. See, God gives life. God breathes life from the beginning, and his Spirit goes out. And so, God, from the beginning, breathes life. Sends his Spirit to sustain that life. And then we're reminded of a promise from Abraham. And this promise is kind of like the purpose of the Spirit being here. And the promise is, Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In the beginning, Abraham gave a promise, an incredible, amazing, astonishing promise to Abraham that he would be a blessing, and that his nations would be a blessing. And the fulfillment of the Spirit of God coming to us is to fulfill that promise. That promise that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him. All peoples. Not just church people, but all people would be a blessing. So God sends the Spirit to intervene into the lives of his people to call, sustain, protect, and renew. And that theme is consistent. That God sends his Spirit to protect, to sustain, to call, to renew. And God's plan is bigger than just, like I said, us. But it's all people. So this pattern, this foundational point that we're talking about, and this is the key point. And we actually, in the Dunamis course, this chapter of the Holy Spirit is actually one chapter, but we divided it into two. And last week you heard Tim talk about the minor prophets. This is the other part of this chapter, where this pattern is throughout the Bible. What this pattern is that the Spirit of God, you see, fall upon, comes upon, goes within. The Spirit comes upon someone, name of the person or the thing. We're actually going to get into an example where God even uses a donkey. But he comes upon, and then there's a result. So there's this dilemma, this issue, there's a need. The Spirit of God comes upon, and there is a result of that Spirit coming upon. The first one, Samson. We all know the story of Samson. When I think of Samson, actually, I don't know if many of you guys have seen Avengers Endgame yet, but it's amazing. I know, where am I going with this, right? So, I really like Hulk. Okay? And I think the Hulk could probably tear apart a lion. But I also really like, especially in Endgame, I like Thor. And Thor is a pretty burly guy. And not just Thor, but the actor Chris Hemsworth is a pretty buff dude. Okay? But I started to think about this while I was studying. Could Chris Hemsworth, that buff guy, tear apart a lion? I'm pretty sure Thor could, who's imaginary, fake character. But could Chris Hemsworth? I don't think so. Here's Samson in this story, and he's wrestling with a lion. Verse 5 and 6, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so he tore the lion in part. So a man, not Thor or Hulk, but a man, tore a lion apart. There was a need. God called his name. The Spirit came upon him, and what did he do? He tore the lion apart. And you can see it even more, that the Spirit comes upon Samson episodically, meaning it comes on again and again. Comes upon, leaves. Comes upon, leaves. And we see that as he takes on thousands of Philistines. And then there's even where his disobedience, the Spirit leaves and doesn't come back. Where we read in the story in Judges later on that through his disobedience, and they cut his hair, the Spirit leaves him. And then we see a change in his heart. And he repents. And the Spirit comes back. And they take down the temple, the Philistine temple. But the Spirit of God coming upon him, there's a need. It comes upon. There's a result. Moses. So here's Moses. He leads the Israelites out of the desert. He's spending a lot of time with them, and what he's having to do is there's a bunch of issues that keep coming up. And he's the guy that's saying, don't do that, and do that, and go there. And people are realizing that's unhealthy. You can't do all that by yourself. And so what he does is he gets 70 elders to help him out, to lead these people. And the Spirit rested upon them, verse 17 to 29. And they prophesied and they equipped to judge those people, to direct them, to lead them. And we see it where the Spirit of God came upon 70 elders to help lead, guide, God's people. And then in Samson, the story of Saul. We know this story with the Ammonites. So what's happened essentially is Nahash and the Ammonites, they threaten that what they're going to do is they're going to cut out one eye of every person. And Saul hears this and goes, whoa, wait a second. What is going on? You're going to tear out their eyes? People are wailing in the streets. They're so upset. And then it says, the Spirit of God came upon him, began to get angry. He gathered his army, put them in divisions, and they took down the Ammonites. But the Spirit came upon. And finally, in this Numbers 24 with Balaam, again, a guy just like Samson, a guy with not great character. And what happens is, just before the story in Numbers 22, here he is, he's going along a path, and his donkey's actually acting a little weird. He starts like veering him away. Don't go that way. And it's because the donkey is seeing the angel of the Lord with a sword. He can't see it. So the donkey's like trying to get out of the way because like there's an angel there. And then it actually says how the Spirit of God came upon the donkey, and the donkey started to talk. There's a need. His Spirit comes upon. There is a result. And the pattern continues. And God uses a donkey. And I'll pause there for a second. To all those people, to everyone, who may be in a place in your life and you think you don't have maybe something worthwhile to say. Maybe you get scared. Maybe praying out in public. Maybe encouraging somebody. Maybe saying a word of encouragement to somebody else, and you're thinking, I've got nothing to say. They won't listen to me. God used a donkey. A donkey. He used a donkey. He empowered a donkey to speak. He can use us. He can use us. He puts those words and those thoughts into our mind, into our heart, to share. He can use us. He used a donkey. Later, Numbers 24. So after this experience, and he ends up seeing the donkey talks, he sees the angel of the Lord. And then he's looking, and when Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered his oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor. The oracle of one who eye sees clearly. See, he was actually brought there to curse. He was brought there to curse the Israelites. And what happened? The Spirit came upon him and he ended up blessing. There was a need. The Spirit of God came upon. There was a result, an action, words. And this pattern throughout the Bible, again and again, and why this point is so important, church, why it's so important, is that as we continue in this series, we're going to see it pop up again and again. In fact, next week, we're talking about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit moving to the New Testament. And this pattern you'll see again, where the Spirit of God comes upon in an emergency. If something's wrong, the Spirit comes and empowers and encourages. And there's a result. But why are we talking about the Old Testament? Why are we talking about 3,000 years ago? Because as you'll see, how the Spirit worked then, the Spirit's still working now. How the Spirit came upon them, the Spirit is still working now. Some examples, and there's a lot of it. In fact, the book that we get, it's quite large, and there's a lot of text that we're not going to get into. But it's vast. And I think the importance of that is saying that this is very biblical based. It's very much the Word of God showing example after example of the Spirit of God coming upon, encouraging, empowering, protecting, renewing. So an example, visions, Elijah, and we know the story. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In this story, here they are, and the servant can't see that they're not alone. That there are these chariots full, hills full. And they're greater. They're greater than the number of the enemy that they're looking at. And the Spirit of God comes upon. Ruach comes upon to encourage and to empower. Also, like visions, God can speak through words. Maybe a scripture. Maybe God gives you something where, again, you've read your Bible, you've read an encouraging verse, and you go and talk to somebody, you sit down and have a coffee, and that verse comes up. Maybe there's a picture that God gives you. And again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see these examples of God giving visions to people. God giving word visions. Clear things for the encouragement of other people. Jeremiah 1, 13 and 14. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling. I answered, it is tilting toward us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. God here giving a picture, a word, what he's doing. That pattern again, the Spirit of God coming upon and empowering for action, for a result. We see it in prophecy. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origins in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were. And I know that there's even been words here before in this church. Words of prophecy are encouragement for our body. The Spirit of God empowers to speak encouragement and life, protection and renewal. There's a need. God's Spirit comes upon for action. There is something, when I first became a Christian, many of you guys know part of the story. Wasn't a Christian, 20 years old, and I came into basically Bible college, got saved. And they do this foot washing, and I've explained that before, where they wash your feet. And then people will come from around the church, and they'll pray. They'll pray for you. And they'll be from the school, they might be in the community. And so you sit there and you have these people that you never really met, and they're praying for you. And some of them might have a word of encouragement. And during this time, it was 2004, and this person came, I had never met them before, and they just had a scripture verse. So they passed me a piece of paper at the end, and I had the scripture verse. I didn't really know what to do with it. So I put it in my Bible, and I said, that's for a rainy day. Years and years later, about 5 years ago, I had the opportunity of inviting some people to my wedding. And there was two people right away that I thought of inviting. First was my grade 6 teacher. My grade 6 teacher was one of those people who were definitely very encouraging in my life. Somebody who said, hey, Randy, you should play sports. And I was like, sweet, let me try that. That's cool. I love sports. Let's keep doing that. Thanks, Ms. B. The other person was a coach. Hadn't talked to him in years. And I got to go over to his house. And I have an invitation for my wedding in my hand that I'm going to pass to him. So we sit down and we start to talk. And we catch up. And I tell him about Lauren and life and how things are going. In relationship. And then all of a sudden he says, hey, I see that you brought your Bible. And it was because my invitations were in my Bible. It's not because I was being really spiritual in that moment. I was wanting to invite him to my wedding. And in my Bible, I pulled out my invitation and that little piece of paper fell out. And in it was Hebrews 4:7. So we sat down, and I opened it up, and he read it. He was like, huh. And we started talking some more. And then he told me that his wife just passed. And that he was in a pretty tough place. He hadn't actually seen a lot of people for quite a while because he's been isolating himself. And this is a guy who's a mentor in my life. This is a guy who I've asked him many questions about what to do, where should I go, question about sports, about girls, about all sorts of things. And here he is, he's telling me about his story. And then I'm thinking in my brain, I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, the words aren't even coming. I'm just really sad about hearing this story. So I thought, hey, why don't I pray? And so I start to pray. And in the prayer came Philippians 4:4. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. So I pray that. And then after the prayer, I think, okay, I'm about done. And so I pack up my things. I give him like a bro hug, you know, like the fist bump, and right? So my coach, I walk out, get into the car, and he was pretty quiet. And then I see him coming out of the car, and he's got tears in his eyes. And the first thing I'm thinking is, oh man, did I offend him? Like, what did I say? And he starts waving me back in. He's like, come back in, come back in. And we sit down, and he tells me that he's been hard in his heart. That he's essentially just said, no more, God. No more. Hebrews 4:7, if you hear the voice of God today, do not harden your heart. When the piece of paper fell, I opened it and read it, and he heard it. In that moment, God said something to him. God reminded him. God showed him, I'm hardening my heart. So I text Lauren, I'm saying, Lauren, I'm sorry I won't make it to dinner tonight. And here I'm having a conversation with my coach. As he's talking about some hurts, some stuff going on in his life, and how he just seemed to can't find God because his heart's hard. There was a need. There was a need. And the thing about the Spirit of God and the Word of God is they're never divorced. They're never. They're in unity. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are one. And when you speak those words in Scripture, you speak God's words. The Spirit is in that. The Spirit is there, working. And my coach, he never ended up making it to our wedding, but I get a phone call from him maybe once a year, shares how he's doing. I send him pictures of Judah. I ask him, hey, do you mind coaching my son one day? And he's like, man, I'm retired. But did I do something there? No, I didn't do it. Like, maybe an act of obedience. I kept the piece of paper that I was in 2004. That was God. I didn't say anything that was profound or like, man, whoo, Randy, that's real nice. No, God showed up that day. There was a need. This pattern, there was a need. He was a broken man. There was a need. He was hurting. There was a need. And God showed up. Don't harden your heart. When you hear God today, don't harden your heart. There was a need. And God showed up. I started at the very beginning, this promise that God gave to Abraham. You will be a blessing. And the purpose of the Spirit of God falling upon and filling people, that purpose of God coming upon or filling us up, that purpose is to equip, protect, bless, or advance the people of God so that they would be a blessing to all the world. God empowers, God equips, God encourages, God speaks to what? To be a blessing, to protect, to renew. And God, He gives us words. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's knowledge. Maybe it's wisdom. God speaks. When there's a need, His Spirit comes upon. Ruah comes upon for that need. And we have the awesome, an amazing privilege to be used by God. To be used, to be empowered, to encourage one another, to maybe say, you're awesome. You're awesome. He's awesome. And He loves you. Let's pray. God, I thank You. I thank You that You are great and awesome. I thank You that You are mighty, that You use broken people like Samson, like Balaam, like us, Lord. You use us for the fulfillment of Your promise. God, would You use us in only the way You can? Would we speak words? And when that fear comes in, that fear or doubt that this isn't from God, would we talk to other people? Would we spend time in Your word? Would we say and declare, God, use me. Use me. Use me, God. Empower me. Give me the words to speak. Give me eyes to see what You're up to. Give me ears to hear what's going on. Would You use us, God, in only the way You can? The God of the impossible, the God of the second chance, and the God who's more than enough. We pray this all in Your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you all stand and join with us as we sing?